let me start with this. My name is Cindy. I'm an alcoholic. Today is December 17th. I'm interviewing Connie V out of Riverside. I am, and she's out of Crestline. This tape is produced for the Mid-Southern California Area Archives, and as such will not be reproduced for other uses. This tape will remain in the custody of the Mid-Southern California Area Archives. Do I have your permission, Connie, to tape this interview?
Yes.
Thank you. Bob, are we ready to go? I'm not quite sure what's happening here.
Maybe we're just supposed to do it.
Bob?
Yeah, can you ladies hold on just a second? I don't think he's got the technical set up quite
okay.
yet.
Thank you, Kevin.
Sure.
Sharon and Jerry are in the front row seat, and they said there's like 40 plus people in the room.
Yay!
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's Bob.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that they're trying to get the camera from Zoom onto the big screen so everybody can see you guys.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure. I'm speculating.
Did they leave you in the dark, Kevin?
Well, COVID left me in the dark. Normally
Uh-oh.
I would have been there.
Uh-oh. Well, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, well, actually, Jerry and I are both home because we both had COVID all week. Yeah.
Going around again.
But the rest of the committee's here, which is nice.
Yeah.
And we actually have, including Zoom, we have, hold on, we just did a head count again.
We're good to go now, Kevin.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, ladies.
Okay, my name is Cindy. I'm an alcoholic. Let me start the timer. Connie, you want to introduce yourself, please? Name and sobriety date. Connie?
What?
Do you want to introduce yourself, name and sobriety date?
Thank you. My name is Connie B. My sobriety date is September 4th, 1971.
Thank you, Connie. Glad you're here. I'm going to run through some questions provided by the archives. When was AA started in the area you got sober in?
Okay, I got sober at the 502 Club in Covina, but Alcoholics Anonymous, that Friday night speaker meeting actually started in 1947, and it was held at the Knights of Pythia Hall because the community was very involved in helping the suffering alcoholic. That's 1947. That's 2 years after I was born. Thank God they had that. After the meeting no longer could be held at the Pythia Hall, I don't know why, maybe because it got too big or whatever, it was moved to a business office or business building above a retail business in the town of Covina. And then in 1961, the San Gabriel Valley Alano Club was in fact started. It was sponsored by or funded by members of Alcoholics Anonymous only. It is a nonprofit. It has been that way since 1961, continues to be that way, and it is the oldest hub of recovery in that area. And I'm very, very, very honored to be a part of that. My home group actually is, never changes, no matter where I'm at, is the 502 Club in Covina, the Alano Club. That is my home group, but I actually kind of consider every meeting I'm at as a home group, you know, because I'm there. So that was the start of in Covina of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they had a lot of old timers there that were very instrumental in keeping the meetings going. There was, I would say, the oldest old timer was at the time that I got sober was 18 years sober, and then it went down from that to 14 and 12 and whatever. Those are really old timers. You know, in fact, my sponsor, she had 5 years of sobriety. And it's like, when you're a newcomer in AA, that's like, wow. I mean, if I couldn't even go one day without drinking, it was like, oh my God, 5 years. How does that happen? So, I'm very honored to and proud to be able to be a part of that, 502 club. Next question.
Thanks, Connie. How did you yourself get to AA, and how did you make that first contact?
Okay. We did not have a central office in Covina or the San Gabriel Valley at that time. So I actually called Alcoholics Anonymous central office in Los Angeles. And what caused me to think about calling them is that there was a very popular movie at the time when I was doing my thing, called The Days of Wine and Roses, you know, and when I saw that movie, I identified with both of the drinkers in that movie and wonder if I have a problem here, you know? So anyway, I called Alcoholics Anonymous, and they wanted to know if I wanted someone to come to my house to do a 12-step call. And I said, no. But they said, would I be willing to have someone call me? And I said, yes, I would appreciate that. So there was a lady that called me. Her name is Kathy F. And she called me, and she was on the phone with me forever, hearing me out and then sharing her experience, strength, and hope. And then made arrangements with me, got me to agree to a meet with her at a meeting at the 502 Club in Covina. And so that's actually how I got my start. I have to admit that when I went to my very first meeting, I had never went anything in my life without fortification of having a drink. So I had a couple of drinks before I went to my first meeting, and then I felt comfortable at the meeting. But so that is actually how I got my start.
Super. Tell me about your sponsorship. You had a sponsor when you came into Alcoholics Anonymous?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Okay, I didn't know, like they do today, that you could pick and choose sponsors. And I just figured that since Kathy F. had called me, you know, to do the 12-step call, that she was my sponsor, you know. And so I never picked and choose. She'd just been my sponsor from my first day of sobriety, and has been my sponsor until recently. She has gone on to her next great adventure. She got her summa cum laude. She passed away with 56 years of sobriety on Thanksgiving Day this year, you know, which was sad for me, but also happy to know that she'd been in my life. She was the longest relationship that I'd ever had in my life, other than a family member, which is really cool.
Thank you.
Sponsorship is important. Kathy was sponsored. Kathy and her husband, George, were sponsored by a gentleman by the name of Harvey. Harvey was sponsored by a gentleman by the name of Clancy I. And Clancy I was sponsored by Chuck C. So we had a pretty good, strong family tree there of AA members and people who were committed to sobriety and staying with the program. By the way, all of them, including my husband, of course, have gone on to their next great adventure, and they all received their summa cum laude. I say summa cum laude rather than magna cum laude because of a couple of reasons. Number one, we say we never graduate in AA, but I feel like we do if we end up dying sober, you know, and have gone through every bit of life's adversity that has come our way and remain sober. And I say SUM rather than MAGA because we claim progress rather than perfection.
Thanks, Connie. How about the attitude of local professional people, particularly towards alcoholism, in regards to that new open meeting in 1947?
We have always had, from my understanding, I've talked to other people, and from my understanding, the Covina area was always very supportive of Alcoholics Anonymous and what we did in AA. And that's why the Knights of Pythia, you know, were the ones that were in agreement to have our first meetings. The other thing is that we had the court cards, you know, first started in 1962. We had a Bodie M, who was actually from the hole in the ground in Huntington Park, and a Judge Dimmerson, who was in Downey, who started the court cards, which is friend of the courts, which is, you know, that when you would stand before the judge, if you were a drinker, there was someone there would go through their file, and then they'd make a recommendation as to whether or not you would go to prison or you would go to AA. And in fact, an interesting aside is that my husband in 1971 was, in fact, in front of the judge, and this friend of the court made a recommendation that my husband be assigned to Alcoholics Anonymous for 7 years. He had to have his court card, and if he had a choice, he could go to AA or he could go to prison. And to hear him tell it, he'd say it was a marginal, difficult decision, but he did agree to go to AA. So he used to have his court card signed. And it's interesting, the community was always supportive of Alcoholics Anonymous, but the members in Alcoholics Anonymous at that time balked at the idea of having to sign court cards. They did not like the idea of having to police someone. And in fact, it was such an issue that as tradition is in Alcoholics Anonymous, some people got their pot of coffee and they went and started other meetings where they didn't have to sign court cards. It's different today. Today it's like people are very eager to help the person that comes in with the court card. There's no issues with that, which is wonderful.
Thanks, Connie. What was it like being Spanish in the early days in your area?
Spanish?
Spanish.
Did you say Spanish?
I did.
Mexican. What? A Mexican. Wow. At the 502 Club in Covina, I was the token Mexican. There were no other Mexicans at the meeting. But if you go to that meeting today, it's probably, I'd say, 75% Latins, you know. But that makes sense to me because back in 1971, you know, we Mexicans really felt that, you know, we could handle things on our own and we did not need the assistance of any outside places. So it was hard. It was hard to surrender to the idea that we are powerless over alcohol and that our life was unmanageable and that we needed help from others. So I'm happy to say there wasn't any, you know, any Spanish literature or anything like that, you know. So, but for me, it was okay because I'm a Mexican in appearance only, but I can't even speak Spanish, which is, you know, another story.
Thanks, Connie. Literature has certainly progressed over the years. Have you seen any major changes in your sobriety with literature?
There's a whole bunch of stuff out there now that wasn't there when I first went in. When I first went in, as far as my big book, my sponsor said to me, you know, you can afford to buy your own big book because you just use that instead of buying your drink. So nobody bought a big book for me. I bought my own big book. And then the other books that I really, really got benefit from, and especially was the AA Way of Life, a reader by Bill. And what I loved about that is because when I came in new, I couldn't even identify what I was feeling. I didn't know what I was feeling. And so when I thought there was I could put a word, attach a word to what my feeling was. In the AA way of life, I could look at that word and I could read every page that referred to that, you know, and which was really helpful. I happened to be somebody that went out again. I got sober first in May of 1971. I had 30 days of not drinking. I thought that was so wonderful, but then I ended up going out again. And so when I came back, needless to say, you know, I came back with a tremendous amount of self-loathing, even more so than the first time when I first came in, because how could I go out again? That one of the things in the AA way of life that it covered had to do with slippers, you know, people that had gone out again, which was very beneficial to me. I really needed to read everything there. And then, of course, the other book that I worked a lot in was the 12 and 12. So those were my real books that I preferred to have. And that's really pretty much all they had. You know, of course, they had the Hazleton book, but, you know, we were told that was taboo to read that. And I didn't read that book, you know, because it was not AA approved. And but now the newcomer has so many aids. It's amazing. It's wonderful. They have the, you know, the, what is it? You know, well, you know what they are. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of literature that they can be, reading and getting benefit from, which is great. But I still stick with my classics, you know, my big book. You know, if it's not in the big book, it isn't. My 12 and 12 and as Bill sees it, a reader by, Bill W.
Thank you, Connie. Talk to me a little bit about state, regional conventions, conferences, forums, et cetera. What kind of service outreach programs were there and what kind of participation did you have in some of them?
I have never in all my sobriety, in all my 51 years, never, ever not been of service. And the reason is because when I came in, the old timers taught me well, you know, and in fact, when I came back after 30 days, I was quote unquote railroaded to be secretary of the 202 club and speaker meeting in Pasadena, you know, and you know, it was an amazing, wonderful experience for me because my ego was such that I had to have the best speakers at my meeting. So I would go to meetings all over to hear the speakers, you know, because I wanted the best speaker for my meeting, right? And it's kind of funny when you think about it because, I mean, a big night was maybe 12 people. But, you know, it's like, it was I felt, oh my God, these people are entrusting me to do this. And I just felt like it was important that I was a part of. I've done so much service work in Alcoholics Anonymous. And people ask me, why are you still doing that at 51 years? I mean, why not let the newcomer do it? And I figure because the newcomer didn't drink for me, you know, so I would never let anyone take a drink for me. So I would not benefit behind them drinking. So service work is very important to me. You know, I've been intergroup, GSR, panels, H&I work, 12-step work. Oh, I'll tell you, the 12-step work was amazing because you'd get a call to go to someone's house. So it was kind of like, you know, the man in the bed scene and you would carry the message. And that's something that's sad now because we don't get the 12-step calls like we did this then. So whenever I get an opportunity and I'm asked to speak at a meeting, I'm really grateful to do it because I feel like it's a 12-step call that I'm doing by sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Now, I mean, now they have, you know, they come to us, the newcomer comes to us not necessarily as a newcomer, but well, so they think they are, you know, until they get a sponsor and come to see there's more to it than just not drinking. But back then, back in the day, I mean, we get 12-step calls. Sometimes I get 12-step calls where I'd be out or two or three of them in a night, you know, which was wonderful. I remember one time I was living in Pasadena and I got a 12-step call. I was living in this apartment complex. And it was like one of these yuppie type apartment complexes with a swimming pool and everything. And every night when I come home from work on Friday night, especially, all the young people would be around the swimming pool drinking and everything. And I started thinking, God, that just really looks like a lot of fun, you know? And so I got a 12-step call. I couldn't find anyone to go with me. And I went, it was in the mountains, and I went on this 12-step call, and there was a lady there living in a cabin and all kinds of empty bottles all over the place. And she was just drunker than a hoot owl. And so, you know, I carried the message to her, and then I took her with me to go to a woman's recovery house. She kept trying to jump out of the car. You know, she kept saying, Jiminy Cricket, Jiminy Cricket. And finally I told her, if you try to jump out of the car one more time, I'm going to knock you out. But the thing is, God gave to me what I needed at that time, because the difference between those people sitting around the swimming pool and her cabin was my reality, because I'm an alcoholic. My reality was not what was going on around the swimming pool. So it was like these 12-step calls were actually what saved me, because every time I was always faced with what it was like for me if I were to go out again. And like I said, I am sorry that people don't have that kind of opportunity today. But on the other hand, more people are getting help. Thank you.
Thanks, Connie. You made a major move. Can you tell me where you went and what happened when you got there?
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
You made a major move in Alcoholics Anonymous in your personal life. Where did you go and what happened there?
Well, okay, I think I know what you're asking. Okay, from 1971 until 1972, well, I met my husband in Alcoholics Anonymous, Boy Meets Girl on AA campus. Should never do that, but we did, and it worked. I 13-stepped him. I had three months of sobriety, and he was a dummy newcomer. He had a month. But anyway, so we got married at the 502 Club in Covina in December of 1972. It was actually December 23rd. My husband's sponsor, George, who had been a minister, took his license out of the mothballs and got himself renewed as a minister. And he did the ceremony for us at the 502 Club. We were smart enough to know not to have it during the meeting, because we were trained that when it's meeting time, you're in a meeting period. So we had the ceremony after the meeting, and Clancy did his annual Christmas pitch at Lark Ellen meeting in West Covina. And he announced that there were two dummy newcomers that were going to get married at the 502 Club in Covina, and that for everybody to come with him to attend it, you know, so they could wish as well. So it was an amazing experience for us. And by God's grace, we were actually married until the day that God took him, because he got leukemia in 2012. But anyway, everything we did in sobriety, we considered it our next great adventure, because we were doing it sober. You know, it was the first time we were doing anything sober. So from 1972 to 1973, we traveled a lot. We were in Monterey. We were in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory. We were in Anchorage, Alaska, and we stayed for a period of time. And there was an old timer in AA that told us, you can go wherever you want, but whatever you do, make sure before you even figure out where you're going to put your head down for the night that you make your AA contact. So at the time we had a book, you know, that showed you where all the meetings were. Understand, there was no cell phone, there was no email, there was any of that stuff. My sponsor gave me a dime, because that's what it cost then. She said, I don't care where you're at. If you think you want a drink, call me first, reverse the charges, you know, and let's talk about it, you know. So it was really important to us. We listened to a lot of speakers on cassettes, you know, and we had all the books, and we had some unbelievably amazing experiences as a result of this. We got back to Covina in 1973, I believe it was, and we did things with the H&I, with Intergroup. We were on the board of directors of the Crossroads of Covina, which was a men's alcoholic recovery house. It was supported, funded by only members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was nonprofit. We used to have fundraisers like the famously called the spaghetti ripoff because it was terrible spaghetti, but people would come and buy tickets so that they could, you know, have the spaghetti dinner. We would have yard sales to fund this recovery house. This was before Betty Ford or any of that stuff, you know. So that's, you know, what we did. And the other stuff we did was that we would get called this group. We were called the Invaders. And on Saturday night, we would all get in the camper. We'd pile in and we would go and invade a meeting. In fact, we went to invade a meeting up in Crestline, you know. We called the meeting secretary ahead of time to let them know that we were coming so they could have plenty of coffee. And then we'd leave huge Seven Tradition donations to help them, you know, with their expenses. That was part of us carrying the message and receiving the message from other areas. Then in 1975, going on to another great adventure, we went to the Ozarks. And I loved the Ozarks. It was probably one of my greatest experiences as far as growing spiritually, because I didn't want to be in the Ozarks. But anyway, the meetings that we went to, we bought 6 acres in Ava, Missouri. We built a house. We built our own house. I mean, we built it. You know, I mixed the mortar. My husband was, you know, the designer and everything. And the meetings closest to us was one in West Plains, Missouri, which was 40 miles away. I hope you're hearing me. Was 40 miles away. And then in Howe County, and then the other closest meeting was in Springfield, Missouri, which was 80 miles away. So somebody had suggested that maybe we should start a meeting in Ava, Missouri. So we did that. We put an ad in the paper, and the ad said, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. And this was in March 10th of 19, when do we do this? March 10th of 1977. That's right. 74, five. Yeah. And we said, there's going to be a meeting on Tuesday night, a closed Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on Tuesday night in the Ava Courthouse in the basement. And so it was really hard for people to come to AA. Number one, it's the Bible Belt, and drinking, and that at that time was a sin. Right. And so it was hard for them to admit that they had a problem. But slowly but surely, people started coming into the meeting. And I'm very, very honored to say that my husband and I both are in the archives in the Ozarks for having started the first meetings in Ava, Missouri. The good news is that my husband was the kind of personality that he could get people upset, you know, when he didn't agree with, you know, with stuff. And so they would do what is traditional in Alcoholics Anonymous. They would get their, they learned from us, they got their pot of coffee, and they started another meeting in the area, close, local, you know. So there's a lot of meetings there now, which is really great. I don't mean in Ava, Missouri, but close, like Sparks, you know, 10, 15 miles away. Everything is really, really close. But today, that meeting in Ava, Missouri, survived COVID and is still going strong, which is just wonderful. And I'm very grateful for that. We came back to the San Bernardino County in 1985. And we've been living there, or I've been living there since, my husband and I, until he left. We've been living there. And as a result of being in San Bernardino County, I've had the privilege to be with an intergroup representative, a GSR representative, the secretary of the Easy Does It group that was in Crestline. In fact, that's where I met Cindy, beautiful Cindy. and actually the chairperson at the Easy Does It group in Crestline. Sadly, the group did end up closing, mainly because there was not enough people supporting it to be able to make the payments for the rent that we needed to pay. It was one group that met many times, and it was really great. But so as a result of the closing of that meeting, and we needed an AA meeting in Crestline, I was able to start the Monday night log cabin meeting, and that went for a lot of years. Well, as many years as it was needed, you know. And then the day came when that closed, and then we have the Blue Jay meeting that are the Blue Jay Alano Club, which has meetings all the time. But all this time since 1985, not only being in intergroup and being on panels and being in GSR and being in H&I and all those things that I was taught to do by the old timers of my time, I have come, some people say, why do you keep doing this? You know, I mean, this is, you know, you should let the younger person do it. And I'll tell you why. It's because I met an old timer years ago, and I'm teachable today. I met an old timer years ago who got too busy for AA. And this person was very involved, you know, because they had given back lives. They were very involved in the Knights of Columbus or the Kiwanis or golfing or, you know, living life, you know, and had no time to, they'd actually went through their calendar trying to find a date and time that they could maybe meet you for a cup of coffee because they were so busy with so many other things. Well, I'd read in the paper a year or so after that, that this person, this individual, this old timer had taken a gun and put it into their mouth and pulled the trigger. And I thought, you know what? I don't want that to be my experience, you know, so I'm going to stay really close to AA. And the way I do that is that I stay involved, not only going to meetings, which is very important to me because there were old timers there when I got there. So I want to be there for when the newcomer comes in. And, you know, the I am responsible is very important to me because my feeling is that I am responsible for to give it to others the way it was given to me and not to edit AA, to put in my ideas of what it should be like. It's big book AA. So to me, all of this is very important. And, you know, the newcomer learns, they learn from the old timer what, you know, what to be involved and be a part of. The other thing that I do now is, and I've done this for quite a few years, is that I'm on the answering service for the central office, you know, and it's another way of being able to do 12-step work because you get that first call and it's fresh and in some way you might be able to help this person and then lead them on to get more help. Giving back. Very important.
Thanks, Tony. I think that's a great note upon which to end. Do you have any closing remarks?
Well, just one. I just want to say thank you very much for asking me to be a part of this. I am sorry that I could not be there in person, but I'm very grateful that by God's grace, we have Zoom so that we could do this in this way. And I'll thank all of you that came to hear this, and I just hope that you found it interesting. Thank you.
Thanks, Connie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Connie. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short 10-minute break, and then we'll get back with the last two interviews and wrap it up and have some pizza.